before you came here this morning. Today's message is on baptism. And I know some of you have been set up. I know some of you have been invited here by friends and family. In fact, I've invited you and I've said, look, if this is an area you need to explore, then I encourage you to come and hear this message. So that's what's happened in the flesh. That's what's happened by our design. But I believe God has a design that underpins that. I believe God has you here. You're not here by mistake. And I don't say these words to manipulate. I'm expressing them because I believe God is truly wanting to speak to some of you. In fact, all of us this morning in some way. So please have your heart open, ready to receive whatever it is that God has for you this morning. We're told in training to be a pastor, when you're speaking, don't sing because your voice will be gone. I just can't help it, eh? When we're in worship and we're just praising our God. So I need my water. So this morning we're talking about baptism. And at one level, it's a response to last week. So for those of you who were not here last week, or for those of you who don't know what baptism is, we have this wonderful tradition within our Christian faith that we, as a response to what God is doing in our life, we baptize ourselves in water. So underneath here, we have holes in the stage, and these come up, and inside here is a swimming pool, and we fill that with water. And there's lots of reasons that sit around the story of this water. What is happening when we go into this water? Are we washing ourselves with soap, or is something more happening? And so this morning I want us to explore that. Now, the challenge is that in the Bible, there are about 100 verses that talk about baptism. How much time do you have this morning? I'm going to be just touching on a few. And this is the first one that I want us to start with. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So this is Jesus. This is the Son of God speaking. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray. God, I'm overwhelmed when I read this and put it together with this morning. I recognize that these words were written 2,000 years ago. But God, they're fresh this morning. They're new this morning to us. New in that you are a living God. Not a God trapped in the past. Not a God that just comes from the past. But you're a God that is alive today. This morning, Lord Jesus, bring these words alive for us. May we hear you speak them in a way that changes our life. In your precious name, amen. So today's message is a direct response to a command that Jesus gives. Sorry, I'm just going to grab my tissues. So, it's a command to teach. And so here I am this morning teaching to this very issue. I'm not just doing it because I think it's a good idea. I'm doing it because God commands us to. Obey. Obey. These are words that within our cultural framework, we kind of have some issues with. I, your pastor, today, are commanding you to obey what God tells you to do. Now, in our cultural setting, to use those words and that terminology is highly offensive, especially for Kiwis. How dare you tell me what to do? I'll decide. I want to say right here and here, it's not me saying this. These are the words of Jesus. I'm not telling you what to do. This is Jesus speaking to you. And you may say, well, who is Jesus? What authority has he got? Who is he? Only the person that's got authority everywhere, in heaven and in earth. How did that come about? How is it that he's got the authority? This word authority is a word that was given to Jesus in his temptation when the devil came to him. The devil offered him all authority here on earth. That was good of the devil. Cheers. Jesus rejected that. He did what none of us could do. Jesus has done for you and I what we could not do. We'll explore this in some of these passages coming up. That is what gives him the authority. Not just here on earth, but in heaven. And this authority that Jesus has, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Not just converts. This is not an invitation to join a club. And so now I belong to this club. I'm sure I've got one here. Look, I've got lots. I got invited to join the library. I got a card for it. I got invited to get a discount on my petrol. Subway, they invited me to belong to them. Another library. Southern Cross. I mean, there's heaps of them. I got invited to join these places. This is not what a disciple is. You're not invited to just join and then that's it. There's an invitation to an ongoing journey. A disciple is one who follows. And what did Jesus do? We follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And Jesus, in obedience to the Father, was baptized. I don't know if I can make that stronger. I don't know how I can put forward this case to you to communicate that this is something that we're called to. There are so many verses that we could explore, but I believe this is where the crux lies. If you want to follow Christ, you have to follow what he did. Next week I'm preaching on how to raise the dead. No. There's an invitation to follow. More than an invitation, it's a command. For some, these words are enough for you to rip your clothes off and to jump in the water. It's enough. I want to respond now. And if you want to, good, just give me time and I'll put some water in the pool. For others, you have questions. And I want to say, that's okay. Actually, that is okay. It's okay for you to process and to decide what it is that God might be saying. For me, I am going to be speaking from some passages in the Bible and from perspectives. I think it's really important for me to acknowledge that I don't come to this conversation neutral. Let me give you an example. Who's following the American election right now? Anybody? Okay. Nick, what news media outlet are you following? The comedy ones, yeah. Anybody else? They're brilliant, aren't they? Yes. CNN and Fox. Interesting. Anybody else? YouTube, which is getting it from CNN or Fox. Yeah. There's a bunch of channels presenting the information from America. Every one of these stations has a bias. So if you're following Fox, Trump is a man of God who's been called to save the nation. If you're following another outlet, Trump is a man of God that's been brought to bring a revelation to the country to not vote for him. It's each holds their own perspective. And I want to say, and I want to be honest with you this morning, I have a perspective. I was brought up in a Baptist church. I have a particular way of looking at baptism. And I think it's important to acknowledge that, to recognize that, that there are different churches that have different perspectives. And I want to say that I want to hold my position not with arrogance, but with some grace. I believe what I believe, and I'm holding on to it tight. But if somebody has a different position, I want to give room for that. Now, the challenge there is, what happens if those different positions are contrary to the Word of God? That is where I think we need to remember. Oh, okay. We need to remember that framework. Does anybody remember this? What's it called? The Wesleyan quadrilateral. Okay, so this is a way that we can work out and discern what... it's Theology 101. I think it's helpful. There are ways, when we get a challenge of how is it that we discern what God has called us to do, this is a method, this is a way that we can evaluate that and discern what it is that God would have us do. Now, the challenge is, when we go to Scripture, we find some interesting perspectives. And I want to affirm them. Now, the first one here is, this is the first peg I'm going to put in the ground. Here it is. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. This is a gift. This is a gift from God. Not by works. So no one can boast. Awesome. Plant's going to die now. Sorry, plant. So, I believe this. I believe that God has done everything for me. There is nothing that I can do. Nothing that I can do to change that. So, if I lived my entire faith off this, I could in fact swing way over here with the people that obviously have issues. We don't have to do anything, do we, bro? God's done it all, yeah? Nothing. In fact, I'm going to sit here and do nothing. Nothing. I don't have to. Jesus has done it all. Amen? All right. What happens if we go to this then? How about a different sort of baptism? A daily baptism. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has done, and the testimony of my mouth. Here's another peg, another reference point. If I live just by this, if I don't have an understanding that there's some grace involved, if it's by the testimony of my mouth alone, is it that by which I'm saved? So actually, it's by my works. I have to do something for my faith. In fact, it wasn't Jesus who did it. It's me. I've got to say it. I've got to do it. I've got to earn it. I've got to get baptized. Because if I don't, I'm dead. This is why I think when we look at Scripture, it's really important to look at the broadness of Scripture. I want to affirm both those positions. I want to live a radical, grace-filled life where I'm not fearful. I'm totally aware that I'm only saved by the goodness of God. But I also want to live a life that responds to the fact that God has set me free. He has washed me. He has cleansed me. The confession of my mouth. And you see, that's baptism. This is the example we find. Because I want to say that without a shadow of doubt, when I asked Jesus into my life, when I responded to God and he said, Lyndon, I want to be your friend. I want to be your master. At that point, that was when I was saved. For eternity. We have the example of the man on the cross beside Jesus. Today you shall be with me in paradise. He didn't have a chance to get baptized. But if he'd had a chance, I believe he would have got baptized. Why? Because it's a response to what God has already done. I believe that baptism is an outward reflection of what God has done inside already. Romans 6. It's going to work for me. 3 and 4. For you have forgotten that when you were joined with Christ, Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Colossians also says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. You see, when we are baptized, we are communicating, We are confessing with our mouth. We are demonstrating by our actions that his death became our death. His resurrection became our resurrection. He has done for us what none of us could do. Jesus has washed away our sins. As a Baptist church, when it comes to the communion, when it comes to being baptized, washing away the water, this water is not magical water. I liken it to communion, our position on communion. Some churches believe that when you take the bread and the wine, that they actually transform into the body of Christ by some magic. For us, we don't believe that. We believe this acts as a sign. The bread is a reminder that Christ was broken for us. His blood, this cup, red, reminds us that his blood was poured out for us. It's a sign pointing to what Jesus has done. The water is the same. There is no magic taking place. It's a sign of the magic that Christ has already done. It's a sign of the beauty that Christ has come and washed us, buried us. This is why, within our tradition, we put the person under the water as a sign that their old life is dead. And when we lift them up out of the water, it's a sign that Jesus is bringing them to new life. For me, when I see this, it's like going to a wedding. I sit there and I cry. Yeah, because it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful when we realize what Jesus has done for us. Saved by the confession of our mouth. Yep, we are saved already. But in response to being saved, we become baptized. Some of you may be sitting there and thinking, well, I've got a young child and my young child wants to get baptized. How do we know somebody is ready to be baptized? There is a phrase that some people have used, adult baptism, to describe a tradition of the Baptist Church. This is incorrect. This is nowhere in our documents as a church tradition do we hold onto adult baptism. The phrase is believers' baptism. Do they believe? When we look through the Bible stories, come back to me. Come on now. It's not going to show up. That's fine. When we look through the Bible stories in Acts, we find this wonderful, consistent theme where people believe. In Acts 2:4, those who received the word were baptized. In Acts 8:12, when they believed, they were baptized. I think a great story that captures this is the eunuch. You might know this story. He's riding along. This eunuch, I mean, gosh, I want to preach a whole sermon just on this eunuch. It's incredible. This guy has just been to Jerusalem, to the temple. He's from a foreign nation. He's not Jewish. He's an Ethiopian, probably black. Servant to the Ethiopian king, emperor, queen, thank you. And so he goes on instructions probably from the queen to make offerings to this god, because that's what they did. In that day and age, other nations would still come to Jerusalem, and we find examples of this throughout the Old Testament, where other nations would come to worship God and offer offerings. And this eunuch is doing this, and he comes away from that reading the book of Isaiah, seeking to understand, who is this God that I've just prayed to? And this God that he has just prayed to sends Philip to him. And Philip hears him reading the word of God. And he says, do you understand it? No. Let me come up and I will explain it to you. And Philip unpacks the scripture. And the Ethiopian, after hearing the full story of God coming to earth, living as a man, dying as a man, coming back to life as a man, says, what must I do to be saved? Effectively, this is what he's saying.
On the stage. I wonder if I bumped. I'll try this again. Thank you.
What prevents me from being baptized? If you believe, is effectively the response. If you believe, be baptized. Throughout Scripture, we see this beautiful phrase, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter responds to Jesus' question, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? So much of following Christ swings or hangs on who do you say Jesus is? We don't just follow this concept of a God that is distant. We follow a God that is present, brought about by the presence of Jesus coming and walking amongst us, now by his Holy Spirit being with us. And there is a requirement of us to recognize that Jesus is God. Who do you say I am? Again, Scripture is incredibly clear. There is no other way to encounter God, to know God, but through the Son. It's only through Jesus that we can have a relationship with the Father. Today you may be here because mum and dad dragged you along. I know that happened for some. Can I speak to the mums and dads? Our hope for our children is not in our ability to convince them of something. It's not, our hope is not to be in our pastor, amazing though he is. He's not. Our hope is not in Dave as our family and children's pastor to teach and educate our children. Now, don't get me wrong. We want to have an investment in these areas. We want to tell our children. We want to put them in spaces to expose them to the Word of God. We want to put them in spaces where they can hear the testimonies of others, like we did last Sunday. But our hope for our children can't be in these things. Our hope has to be in that Jesus will speak to them. So please, don't be anxious. For you and I that know Jesus, I think that we need to sit with this. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. Is it a gift? It is a gift of God, not by works, so that none can boast. It has to be our position of humility, knowing that God has brought this revelation to us. We can cry out for our children, we can cry out for our neighbors, we can cry out for our friends to know this. And this is often how it will happen. These verses are followed by, "For we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things." You'll be familiar with the phrase, God has prepared good works. He's given us good things. He's planned for us long ago. I truly believe, as I get up here and speak Sunday after Sunday, that this is something that God has prepared for me years ago. The same is for you. As you sit with your children and you open the Word of God, it's not by accident. God has prepared these opportunities for you. Last night, Zoe had a friend over, and we found ourselves sitting around the table talking about the most wonderful things of God. It was a God moment. It was wonderful to sit there and talk about things that matter. And I don't think that was engineered in any stretch by us. That was what God did. He prepares these opportunities for us. Let me read this again to you. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," this is what's been prepared for you, okay? This is what God has prepared you. The good works he has prepared for you in advance. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." How? How is this possible? Because he's promised to be with you always to the very end of this age. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we've looked at baptism this morning, I haven't labored on the mode of baptism, how we do it, or different church traditions specifically seeking to create arguments between your family. I want to recognize, God, that you move amongst us in distinct ways. Lord Jesus, this morning we celebrate that you have called us to belong to you. And many of us have responded. Not by our own brilliance, not because we were so clever that we worked out the secret, but because you revealed it to us, your grace. And so, Lord Jesus, in light of that grace that you have given us to know who you are, we pray for a boldness to speak so that the world may know that you are a good, good God that desires that all should know you and love you. As we go out this week, I pray that we would be mindful that you are with us. We are not alone. We thank you for your presence. May we go out this week and undertake the good works you've prepared for us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.